I was sitting here earlier, and I'm like, how does he do that? Like, sings, plays guitar, plays two percussion instruments. It's amazing to me. I have no idea how he does it, but it's great. So I really appreciate it. So my name is Chad Miller, for those of you that don't know me. I'm one of the elders here at Cornerstone, and I will be your guest host for the morning. We'll just see how this goes. This is my, so if you haven't seen the disclaimer yet, I don't have a screen in the back today, so I'm going to try to use my phone and that, and I have my glasses in case I need to read, too. So I got all kinds of things going on this morning. So my disclaimer, if you haven't read it already, any views or opinions expressed herein are solely those of Chad Miller, and not necessarily those that represent Cornerstone Church of Blaine, the Bible, or God. So I'm hopefully it works, but I'm not sure. We'll see. This is my second sermon in my sermon series. The first sermon was 2 years ago. So there was a little iffiness after the first one. Jeremy wasn't here for the first one, so he is here today. So that's good. But the sermon series I'm in is called My First Three Sermons. So I'm on, really creative, right? I'm on number two. So the first one that I preached, if anybody remembers, was not about Jonah and the whale. But if anybody's been here for a while, I did a sermon in the sack on that. But my first one was in Jeremy's series, so I stole his PowerPoint for that one, that love is greater. And what I talked about was that I unpacked Matthew 7, and in Matthew 7, it talks about that you take care of the plank in your own eye before you take care of the little grain of sand in somebody else's. And so so that was my don't judge others, but love others. So today, and I always see Jeremy make these extravagant things, and so I was pretty excited about what I was going to do, but it took me a long time to process what I'm going to preach about, because I have all kinds of problems, first of all, and so it's easy to think about a problem that I have and then talk about it. But here's a few that I kind of came up with. So if anybody's going to preach, I have a notebook full of like partially started sermons. It didn't come up one at a time, but that's okay. Why is that hole in my wall about anger? I don't know if anybody can relate, but in my entryway, there's a hole. That's another story. Have you weeded your garden about the sins in your life? Just decide, will you? I feel like that's what somebody, maybe my significant other, says to me sometimes. And then the whys of life was the one that I kind of came up with that I started working through. And Sadie came up with the why don't people eat more cake as the title of that one, right? Amen to that, Sadie? Right? Yeah, okay. Well, there's problems with all of these, Nick. You're right. All right, so I came up with the great supplier. That's the title for the sermon today, or that I came up with, which is great, the great supplier. I teach health, so I'm a health teacher at Coon Rapids High School, and I love the heart. The heart is one of my favorite things to talk about in Christianity and with at school. I like talking about the heart, when the way the blood flows and stuff like that. And so, as a good teacher should do, he should give three learning targets for the day, right? I don't know if Beth is here today, Dorsing, but since we're in Blaine High School, amen, learning targets. I knew she would appreciate these. So when you leave today, my goal for you is that you have a greater understanding of who or what the great supplier is. My phone doesn't bring all these up, so I'm going to look back there, sorry. How the great supplier can change me or you, and then what is my next step? I don't know if you can see the bottom of the screen. I should have probably put them up higher, but that's the three things that I want you to learn. So, since there's kids in here too, I want to keep you kind of entertained at least a little bit. So it'll probably, are the slides going to come up? Probably, they're going to come up one at a time. Here's my question for you kids, or anybody that wants to answer. What is a heart for? Nick, go.
Stay alive.
Stay alive. More, just yell them out. A pump? What are we saying back? Oh, through the veins. Very good. Anything else? Yell it out, girls. I can't hear you. Helps you breathe. Yeah, for sure. Anything else? Go. Keeps you alive. Amen. Okay, here's some of the things that I came up with, and you guys said most of the same things. It's a pump. It's a supplier. It's a life giver. It actually talks about our emotions, so it helps with our emotions. Love, our own electrical system, and it can survive without the brain, which is really interesting. I thought, like, the heart, if you take it and you just keep giving it oxygen, you take it out of the body and you keep giving it oxygen, it can survive, right? which is pretty amazing. I didn't realize that, but it has its own electrical system, so it tells when to beat and things like that. And we'll get into that, or I will get into that a little bit more as we go. So those are some of the things that your heart is for. The definition, okay? So I love it when Jeremy does like Greek and Hebrew and stuff like that, so I tried. It's a struggle a little bit, but first of all, the definition, a hollow muscular, do I need to stand somewhere so it doesn't echo? Like right in the middle? Okay, all right, I'm going to turn, sorry. A hollow muscular organ that pumps the blood through the circulatory system, rhythmically contracting and dilating. Rhythmic, remember that. In the central or innermost part of something is the heart. In the Greek, it's cardia. The heart is the affective center of our being and the capacity of moral preference. And in the Hebrew, leb or lebab, and I'm not Hebrew, so Bruce, you can tell me if that's wrong if you're here, but it's what I thought was interesting was it appears 860 times just in the Old Testament. So the heart is a big part of the Bible, the control center of us. Oh, here's my video. Sorry.
Take your rest on your heart.
Yes, that will get in your head. Sorry. And we've been singing it for the last like day or two, and I went to sleep. I'm your heart. And so it was a little bit of a struggle for me. But okay, there we go. Okay, so the heart, a couple other things, and it's talked about that already, but the atrium, blood comes in through my right atrium, okay, and it squeezes out, goes to my ventricle, and then it goes out to the lungs. It comes in as bad blood. So there's a whole sermon there probably too, but it comes in as unoxygenated blood. It's blue. So you look at your veins and you're like, oh, those are blue. Those are going back to your heart. Okay, a vein goes back to your heart and an artery, A, goes away from your heart. Some of you already know this. Some of you are maybe learning this for the first time or relearning it. So when it goes to away from my right ventricle to my lungs, my lungs take care of a lot of bad things. They take care of blood clots. They give oxygen to my blood so that it can go. And so it's pretty intricate and amazing thing. The pulmonary artery brings it away from the heart. Little known fact, it's the only artery that carries what type of blood? Somebody said unoxygenated blood. Right. It's the only artery that carries unoxygenated blood. Pulmonary artery. Because then it goes to the lungs, and then the pulmonary vein is the only vein that carries oxygenated blood. Very good. Yeah, so oxygenated blood, and it goes back to the heart. Then it goes to the heart, into the left atrium, down to the left ventricle, and out. Okay, through the aorta, which starts with an A, so airway. There's my teaching for the day. Airway, artery, A, aorta, away. So that's how that works. Something that was interesting to me that I didn't know is that it has an electrical system. I didn't realize this, but the SA, which is in the top right, the SA node, or the cyanaturalis node, takes care of the electrical system of the body, or of the heart. So it pumps the atrium and the ventricles. Some people, I'm not going to name any names, but somebody, at least one person in here has a pacemaker, and that's what your pacemaker of your body is, your SA node. Oh, sorry. That's my dad, actually. So I can make him feel embarrassed, and it's okay. But that's what a pacemaker does. It helps those things beat, or your electrical system go. Okay, moving along past all of this fun stuff into something a little more biblical. My first point, and it's I think it's in the bulletin, I have run in unison or run in rhythm with God. Okay, so the first point of the heart is supposed to beat in a rhythm. We said that already. Excuse me. And there are many problems with running in unison with God, or running in rhythm with God. I have a hard time sometimes just remembering that I need to wait for God's, not his approval necessarily, but I need to wait for God before I jump ahead on doing something, like helping someone or doing this or doing that. Maybe I'm just doing it on my own. So one of the heart problems is atrial fibrillation. So this is the heart jumping ahead of itself. So the atrium, the top two, are pumping faster than the ventricles can get the blood out of the body. So the blood starts pooling. So you can see up here, top chambers are faster than the bottom chambers. Blood pools, and it can clot. So if you're not in line with God, if we're not in line, if we're not running in rhythm, if we're taking things in our own, and we're just saying, I'll take care of that, without following with him, then we're not doing what we should be doing. And so it's not that, and I have up there about serving. Like, I will, first of all, I'll take care of them, or serve. I was taught by great parents that to serve people, to do things. And Christ came here to serve, not to be served. And that's a great thing. But if we're in bad rhythm with God, then we're maybe doing it on our own so that I can get the glory and so he can't get the glory. And so I think you probably understand what I'm saying there. In Romans 8, 5 through 6, if you can't, right here. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, if you're running in rhythm with the Spirit or God, those who set their minds on the Spirit, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. How do I do that? These are supposed to come up one at a time, but apparently I didn't get it set in that way. But how do you do that? Prayer. Hey, I'm just going to talk about these just briefly. So prayer, how do you do that? Well, everybody, the Sunday school answer is, how do you follow Jesus? Or how do you follow God? Pray, read your Bible, right? And we tell people that all the time. Yeah, I don't know about you, but in my life, it is super difficult to pray and read the Bible all the time. I have a hard time remembering. I have all kinds of busy things to do. There's things, oh, this is going to come in front of that. Oh, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll do that. But then I get distracted with any number of things, and you could name all of them. Right now you're thinking this for you, because each of us is different. It's not the same as for me. And so prayer is a difficult thing to do. It says, be joyful always, pray continually in 1 Thessalonians, and give thanks in all circumstances. Pray continually. So you shouldn't feel guilty if you forget. What if I forget at 3 o'clock or at 11 o'clock last night, I was supposed to pray for the Mexico team? I forgot. I remembered it when I went to bed at 12 when I was thinking through this chaos that I'm about to bring to you. But I remember then, but so I didn't remember. Should I feel guilty for that or convicted for that? Okay, maybe convicted, but not guilty. Okay, so that's about, like, for prayer. For Bible reading, we're doing the read through the Bible in a year thing. In the first part of it, I'm like 6 books behind. Okay, I am. I don't know if anybody else feels the same way, but I'm in the Psalms, it's only read one Psalm or one proverb. I can handle that. But then I'm reading at the beginning of the Bible, and it's difficult to stay on task. I try to go back, and I do, but then I'm falling way behind. Should I feel awful for that? I think not. Quiet time. It's probably the most difficult and probably the least used thing by most people. I don't know. Maybe I'm judging, but excuse me. But I don't use quiet time the way I should, probably. It's important to just stay quiet and listen. I like people. And I like talking to people, communicating with people. And I have a hard time just sitting there and listening. I feel like I have to be doing. My mind goes somewhere else. I'm sure some of you can relate there. But if you can sit and listen, when I have done that, sit and listen, or find the right thing for you. Every one of these things is related to you. Like, my prayer time might be different than somebody else's prayer time. I went rollerblading the last few days for a little bit, and it helped me clear my mind, so I felt like I got a little bit more to give to you or from this sermon or listen from God. Like, God finally started speaking to me when I did something that was good for me. So each of us is different. And when you're young, it's hard to figure it out. Because you see your parents do something, and you think, okay, that's the way that I should do it. But it's not necessarily the same for you, because we're all different people. God made us special that way. And so remember that all of you under the age of, we'll just say 14, 15, I'll talk to you two as well. That's my kid, so under the age of 15 or whatever, that you're special and you're unique your own way. So make sure that you're learning a bunch of different ways and find your unique way to do these things. Back to fasting. I thought this was really interesting. And when you, in Matthew 6:16, and this is a tough one to do too. Okay? I don't do a great job of this. I would like to do it more. But, and when you fast, do not look gloomy on the hypocrites. And there's more to it. I just didn't add all that. The reason I have this up here is because my grandma, we were looking in her Bible, and we happened to look at, there was lots of things like marked up and things like that, and one of the things that she had crossed out, and I'm like, can you really cross things out in the Bible? Yeah, it is. Well, it's her mom over here, so I blame her, but sorry, Grandma. But she had crossed out "and when," and basically she was saying, you fast. And when she said, if she would have said that to me, I would have, because she was a great woman of God, and it was just funny to see she crossed part of the Bible out. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Okay, so run in rhythm. I got this one right. I forgot to switch the other one. Run in rhythm with God. That's your first point. Second point is connect to and encourage others. Connect to and encourage others. So think about how you can do that. I want to see if my whole slide will pop up, probably. So we're going to go on past that. So how can you do that? In Romans 1, 8 through 12, this is one of my go-tos with the encouragement of others. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, Paul's talking, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Without ceasing, I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that someone, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. Verse 10 talks about the first part, running in rhythm. We're together by ourselves. We're working on ourselves so that we can get to this next part. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or to speak life into someone. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. How do we do that? Okay, we fill our heart with good nutrients. If we fill our heart with bad nutrients, so some of the problems of filling our heart's going to pump. If we're eating bad things for us, or if we're using illegal drugs, we'll say, if we're using that bad stuff is going through our body. Our heart doesn't know any difference. It's just going to pump it through. Right? It's going to pump all those things through, and it's giving it to our body. Okay? If we fill ourselves with vegetables, this is for kids, right? Vegetables are good. Green things are really good for you, even though they don't all taste that great. Some of you like them. if we're filling ourselves with good things, those also pump through our body for extra encouragement, nutrients, and things like that. So how do we fill and encourage one another? Okay, asking questions. One of the things that I think sometimes we lack in is asking someone questions. Usually when I'm struggling in like a conversation, I'll ask them questions and they'll be able to share. But sometimes people forget to ask questions back at you. So it feels like you're just listening the whole time. Is it important to listen? Amen. Okay. I'm not great at it. Just ask some people down here. But we work, if we can work on those things, so we're going back and forth, so it's this back and forth, it's much more encouraging. Okay, much more encouraging. Encourage young to old. So there's younger people in here today. When you there, first of all, you guys are doing a great job of listening. I don't know if you're paying attention. That's okay. My students rarely pay attention to me, but you're doing a great job right now. So you young people in here that have to come and sit and listen, it's tough, but you're doing a great job. So I appreciate you. Can I get an amen? Yeah, okay. So I appreciate that. It's not easy. And parents, we always think, well, you got to be quiet. It's okay today. They can be loud. It doesn't matter. Yeah, amen. Come on, Nick. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Makes me feel better, too. So encourage young to old. Also, young people, encourage the older people. You can encourage the older people if you go up to them and ask them questions about who they are. Because we love talking about ourselves. Right? And who do you know the most about? Yourself. You know the most about yourself. So young person, if you can think, no adult is going to be like, well, stop asking me questions, leave me alone. Well, they shouldn't. If they do, just tell me, okay? Or tell Pastor Jeremy, pastor@ccblaine.org. Anyway, it's important that we can encourage each other. So young people, ask questions to the adults, because that's how you learn. And it makes us feel like you're actually paying attention to us. When my students actually ask me a question, I'm like, thank you for asking me a question instead of just sitting there playing on your phone. I appreciate it. Okay, so that's a great thing. I think it's important that we can encourage one another. Meet with people. Sit down and ask them questions. Have coffee with them. Ask them here at church. But here at church, we have a small amount of time. I don't know how many of you feel this way. I know I do. I never feel like I'm able to connect very well. Even in the foyer, we do a great job, I think, here at Cornerstone of having the food and connecting and talking. But are we really connecting? Hey, it's more usually more surface level. And that's okay. We need that too. Some of us, I do. Some people don't. But it's important to be able to do that and then also to connect somewhere else. So that's a challenge maybe for you. Maybe not for you. Maybe hopefully something is. And then use your words. Three things that I heard in I think it was Robert Lewis that did the men's fraternity. I know it was him that did the men's fraternity thing. Or also, he did this thing called Raising a Modern Day Knight. He wrote this book, not did this thing, wrote a book called Raising a Modern Day Knight. And he said the three things that you should say to people, or in this he was saying to your sons, is I love you, I'm proud of you, and you're good at blank, whatever you're good at. You're good at this. And so it's important to be able to share that to other people. In this, it was, like I said, it was called men's fraternity, so it was men to men, usually, of us saying, I'm proud of you, you're good at this, I love you. It's important to do those things for the people in your life. And it's not just men, by the way. Okay, so connect and encourage to others. And then the third, I guess it's point, but it doesn't really, I don't know, I put it down a little bit because it didn't really flow into a point. But I think the main point maybe of this whole thing is that the heart is the physical supplier of our body. We need it. We need it to live. It works. Some don't work as well as others. You know people. There's people in here that struggle with heart issues probably as far as physical heart issues. But ultimately, God is the eternal supplier. So he is the eternal supplier of us. A couple things about that. Keep going. I want to just read these statements, a couple of the heart issues. Heart can live on its own as long as it has oxygen. But we can live a seemingly good life. So we can live a seemingly good life. And you know people probably that are living a great life. They're serving. They're doing well for others. But they don't know the great supplier. They don't know Jesus. And they don't know about him. And so ultimately, they are spiritually dead. So how can we help those people? Hey, the beginning part has been about you and us, but then how can we do something for others that need us? We take some of these things here and we go and do something for other people that might be living a great life, but they just don't know. And Jeremy is great. Pastor Jeremy, if you're new here today, he's in the back on the sound today because both our sound guys are gone. So if you know how to do sound, then you're welcome to learn. It's great. We could use some extra help. But he's great. And I told him this. We met this week. And I told him this. I said, you're great at just like sitting down and talking to anyone about Jesus. It's not every one of our styles to do that. Some of us have to live it out by our actions. Some of us can sit down in the back of a taxi cab, or an Uber, sorry, Uber, it's not taxis anymore. Sit down in the back of an Uber and talk to a Muslim guy about going to church. Okay? And that's what he does. He does. That's his gift. Not every one of us is gifted that way. But find your gift. So how can you be gifted, or not gifted, how are you gifted, and where can you use that? The supplier. So now just briefly about the supplier. A person or organization that provides something needed, such as a product or a service. Okay, so that's what supplier is. I looked up supplier in the Greek and the Hebrew, and one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh. I don't know if I'm saying it the right way, but Jehovah Jireh in the Hebrew, and that's provider or supplier. Okay, he is the provider and supplier. So I have one last illustration here. Brooks, do you want to come up here? Brooks or Carter, I need one of you two. Who's first? Perfect, thanks Brooks. So in the Bible, in Genesis, you have to lay down on the stage. Please? Yeah, please. Actually, you can sit up first. All right, so in the Bible, in Genesis 22, Abraham, if you're not familiar with Abraham, took his son, Isaac, and God had said, take your son as a sacrifice. I'm not going to kill you. I don't think. Hopefully this won't go wrong. I don't have anything. He had a knife. I have a clicker. It's just going to, anyway. All right, moving on, sorry. So Abraham God was talking to Abraham, and he said, go up on the mountain. You guys probably kind of know the story, but just if you don't, he went up on the mountain with his son, and he was supposed to sacrifice his son. They built an altar. Isaac said, hey, what are we going to sacrifice? The Lord will provide. That's what he said. The Lord will provide. And so he took his son, and he bound his hands. I don't have anything to tape your hands up, but lay down. So he laid them down on the altar, and he was standing or move this way. So there we go. So he was standing or laying down. I'm sure the altar was built up. This is how Chad pictures it. And Isaac was laying on the altar, like going, okay, what's going on? And maybe he knew at that time because Abraham had a knife. And he went to kill his son, his only son. I don't know if it's his only son, but it's his son. Sorry, the biblical reference is not good there. But he went to kill his son with a knife. And then he heard God say, wait. This is, again, Chad Miller's version of this. Wait. Or maybe his cell phone rang. I was going to have somebody call me right at this moment, right now in the sermon. I was thinking that. He went to stab his son. And God said, wait. And he said, look over here. And there was a goat over there, or a lamb over there, to sacrifice. I mean, what kind of faith? Here you go. You can stand up now. I won't kill you. I appreciate it. You can go. You want to stand here or go? Okay, you stand here. What kind of faith does it have? What kind of faith does he have that he would do that? And then what Abraham said to Isaac is the prayer he said. So Abraham called this place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on that mountain the Lord will be provided. Lord there is Jehovah Jireh. He's the provider, he's the supplier. In the newer terms, or not newer, in the New Testament, I found in Romans 8, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. God gave his own son for us. Yeah, amen, huh? There you go. He gave his own son for us to die for us. Could you do that? And we see that story, and you've probably asked that thing time and time again. Could we do that to our own son? If I was listening, could I do that to Brooks? Okay, that I don't know if I have that much faith. Okay, I would hope I could listen That is an amazing thing to do. Okay, the two suppliers. So, summary. Okay, the two suppliers. Do you want to stay or do you want to leave? You leave? Okay. Sorry, buddy. The two suppliers. This was supposed to bounce in really neatly too, Brooks, but it didn't do that. The heart. The heart is blood and oxygen, nutrients, electrical nodes, atrium, ventricle, valves, lungs. But God, our supplier, says two commandments, right? Kids, I'm sure you've learned these. The two commandments. Number one is what? Louder. Or you can read it. I'll read it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Okay, first commandment. Okay, the two greatest commandments. And then the second is, love others as yourself. To do those two things is not easy always. It's not easy always to do those things. As I talked about, those are some of our heart problems. We have a hard time doing those things. But to do that, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others as yourself, is how you can run in rhythm with God, how you can connect and encourage others. And then the last one is the heart is the physical supplier, but God is the eternal supplier. He's going to supply us forever. So the great supplier, I don't know if this comes up the way I want it to or not. We'll see. The great supplier, no. Okay, so application. Here we go. So how can you use this? I always think as a teacher, I want to, okay, how can you take this and use this? So here's some ideas for you. You might, I hope, if you're paying any attention, that you have got one thing. I'm okay with, I tell my students, if you can learn one thing from me this whole trimester, I feel like I'm successful. And it's not real hard to learn one thing, but it's hard to try to go outside of these doors and do one thing. So a couple things I would suggest. What am I going to do differently based on what I heard? For individually, with others, with God, what am I going to do differently? How will I best connect with the great supplier? How will I, individually, we all are different, how can you? And if you don't know how, ask. Ask somebody. That's where we connect with others. How can we connect with other people? Who can I help supply? Maybe there's somebody in here, in your life, at work, wherever, that you can supply that encouragement to. How can you encourage them and speak life into their life? Encouragement. And then share your findings with someone. Don't be afraid to, like, if you talk, it's not bad to talk about good things that you've done. Share their findings. I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Okay? Ask somebody. Those are important things to do, because if we just do it on our own, we're going to fail most times. It's hard to do things on your own. Where two or more are gathered, then I am together with you. So the great supplier, Jesus. He's a great supplier. What I'm going to do as we close, I'm going to read through, so the band can come up. I'm going to read this psalm over you as my prayer. I figured it was easier than trying to figure out what to pray about, just to have the psalm there. This is the psalm, and I'm not going to read all of it, but this is the psalm when David was asking for forgiveness after with Bathsheba and causing adultery and murder at the same time. And so this is what his prayer was. I'm going to pray this over you guys with me as the band comes up. So here we go. So pray with me. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back the joy again you have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit in me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Lord, help us get something out of today that, whether it's worship or the sermon or just connecting with others, that we can really be encouraged by you, that we leave here knowing a little bit more about you, and that we leave here with something to do about it. Help us go and encourage other people we connect with, co-workers, family members, and help us be encouraged by you and find ways that we can encourage others.